Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Bruce Pierce talking about women's health care. Today, I have two guests, and they are Jennifer Short and Danielle Melikin, who are certified nurse midwives at Princeton Midwifery Care here in Lawrenceville, New Jersey, and East Windsor, New Jersey. Hi, ladies.
Hi, Dr. Pierce.
Hi, Dr. Pierce.
So, tell us each one at a time. Jen could go first. Tell us about yourselves. What brought you here? Where'd you go to school? Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So my name's Jennifer, and I grew up in North Carolina and had an experience, a great experience, in a collaborative practice similar to this when I had my first child. I intentionally sought out midwifery care because my mom and my sister had all had cesareans, and I was determined that I was going to try to write a different story. So I knew after the birth of my first baby that I wanted to become a midwife. I also wanted to spend time kind of focusing on being a mother, so I did that for a while, and then later went back to school, to nursing school for a while, and worked as a labor and delivery nurse, all with the intention on going to midwifery school. During that time, we moved from North Carolina up to New Jersey. So here I reside here in Lawrenceville with my family. I have two kids, a daughter who's no longer at home, and a 15-year-old son. And I went to Frontier Nursing University, which is the home of kind of distance midwifery learning, and really is what brought midwives to the U.S. The person who started it had been in Europe and kind of seen what the European model of healthcare for women was, and so she brought midwifery here to the U.S.
Thanks, Jen. And Danielle?
So I'm Danielle, and I am homegrown. I have lived here in New Jersey in the greater Mercer County area all of my life. I'm from Bordentown, and where I live with my five children and three dogs and husband. My path to midwifery was not completely dissimilar from Jennifer's in that I came to it through my own birth experiences. I was a very young mother and didn't have a great birth experience, unfortunately, with my first delivery. And it ended in a cesarean section. And I felt very disempowered by my birth experience and knew that it could be different. And after the birth of my third child, I realized that midwifery was my calling. And like Jennifer, I realized I needed to be home with my children for some time, and then went to nursing school and worked as a labor and delivery nurse, and then moved forward and went to midwifery school. My education is I started locally here at Burlington County Community College, and then moved on and got a bachelor's degree and a master's degree at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., and then did my nurse midwifery work at Shenandoah University in Virginia.
Well, thank you. Thank you. All right, now that our introductions, well, actually, I should introduce myself because this is a relatively new podcast. So I'm Dr. Bruce Pierce. I am a general OBGYN physician, and I guess I kind of specialize in robotic GYN surgery, and I'm also a student of patient safety. So there you go. All right. So anybody just chime up when you get a chance. So what is midwifery? What's it all about? What's a midwife?
Certified nurse midwives is what Jen and I are, and we have a background in nursing, so our basic education begins with a nursing education, and we move on for advanced training in women's health care. And what midwives do is try to bring together traditional knowledge of midwifery, which is the art of delivering babies and caring for women, with modern science. We're trying to blend both the art of midwifery and the science of medicine. And what has been very exciting about midwifery in the past, I would say 10 years, Jen, if you would agree, is midwifery has undertaken its own scientific endeavors and has really come into its own as far as, you know, blending the art and the science and showing that the art of midwifery actually produces excellent evidence-based outcomes.
Yeah, I definitely would agree. I think that midwifery is at its very root of even the word. It means being with women and meeting them where they are, assessing them, and trying to figure out what is their definition of health, what is their definition of a positive outcome, what are they looking for in their selves, in their bodies, in their relationships, and trying to help partner with them to create that kind of environment.
Great. So now, a lot of people, I guess, have the first impression, if they don't know, that a midwife, you do deliveries, births at home, and that's usually when somebody thinks of a midwife. So that's somebody who does a home birth. Correct or not correct?
So that's incorrect. Actually, according to our professional organization, the ACNM, 99% of practicing certified nurse midwives actually work in the hospital environment. That's not to say that we could not deliver babies at home in some settings when appropriate, but generally speaking, most of the deliveries that we undertake happen in a hospital or in a birthing center.
Right. And knowing you guys, because you guys work in the office during the day,
yep.
and you deliver babies in the hospital.
We do.
Now, another, and Jen, I'll give this one to Jen. A lot of patients, they see me, and I say, well, we're going to have, visits with one of the midwives, et cetera, et cetera. And they say, oh, no, I don't want a midwife because I want an epidural.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that is so common for a statement that we hear when we see a patient who's either only seen physicians before or, whatever they've seen or heard about. They've maybe watched Call the Midwife on TV. So that's what they think of. And we certainly have a fair number of our patients who choose not to have epidurals. We also have a large portion who do have an epidural. So we are able to help women and achieve the birth that they're looking for. If you're looking for an unmedicated delivery, I would say you certainly need a nurse midwife because we're going to be the ones who can help facilitate that. But I think that low-risk women, and the evidence proves that low-risk women do best with midwives. We are more present. We are able to kind of help you along the way, guide you through your prenatal course with education, kind of knowing what to expect. And then if during the course of your labor you decide you need something for pain, then we're able to help talk to you about all of the options, some of which are medical and pharmaceutical, so pain medication, including IV medication or an epidural. Or the other options you might have, like the things like using the tub for labor. So we would, we don't deny pain medication, and sometimes we're the ones that bring it up because it looks like that you may need that. So we try to assess and really be present with you to see what it is that you're looking for and how we can help you.
So Danielle, a lot of patients tell me, okay, yeah, that sounds good, Jen, but what if something goes wrong? What then?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's the beauty of our practice here. We work collaboratively with our physician colleagues to not only ensure safety during the prenatal period, but during the labor itself. If something does go awry, something we weren't expecting, we always have our physician colleagues available there to back us up and assist us if anything needs to be done emergently.
I would also add to that being really aware of what is normal is kind of what midwifery is based on, and knowing the variations of normal and when you should step in and when you should intervene. And so always being aware and watchful. There aren't that many times in labor that a really crazy abnormal thing happens that we didn't have warning for. So if we're just really mindful, we can often be avoid those emergencies, right. As they come.
But if there were emergencies, then your covering physician,
correct,
is available to take care. Now, speaking of, what does a midwife do that a doctor doesn't do, or vice versa? So what can a doctor do that you can't do? That's a better question. Danielle?
Sure. So our physician colleagues assist us if we need any kind of operative vaginal delivery or surgical interventions. So
what's an operative vaginal delivery?
Yeah. So if during your labor we need a little help at the end, if the baby's not quite coming and we really feel strongly that you can deliver vaginally, we can call our physician colleagues in and have them assess to see if you need either a vacuum extraction or in some cases a forceps birth, but those are kind of going by the wayside these days. And if at any point during your labor process we feel like you need a cesarean section, we'll certainly have a very good discussion, talk that through. We're very big on collaborative decision making, talking to you the entire way through as to what's happening. And if we make that decision together, we feel that's the correct option, we'll call in our physician colleagues who will then proceed with the surgical birth.
Is there any evidence that C-section rates are lower with midwives? Jen?
Yeah, there is. There's actually very good evidence that women who deliver, low-risk women who deliver with midwives have a lower C-section rate.
So how do I know if I'm a pregnant patient, which I'm not, if I am or no one, how do I know if I'm low risk or not?
So we would usually define low-risk women as first-time moms are considered low-risk who are carrying their pregnancy to term, so over 37 weeks, so getting close to their due date when their baby is head down, which is the way that we deliver vaginal babies, most vaginal babies here in the United States, and you only have one baby inside. And then you also haven't developed any other medical complications. Now, it's not that you can't have a midwife if you have some complications like high blood pressure or diabetes. We usually have a little more collaboration with our physician colleagues with that.
Danielle, do you take care of women who are over age 35?
Ah, we do. Excellent question, Dr. Pierce. We take care of women from menarche to menopause. So essentially from your first menstrual period through your fertile time and all the way in through menopause, we care for women, including annual gynecological visits, pap smears, contraception counseling, testing and screening for sexually transmitted infections, and gynecological problems that you might have during your life. We care for you up until the point where we feel surgery is necessary, and then at that point we will have a discussion and bring in our physician colleagues to really help kind of pick up that torch and carry forward.
So it sounds like you kind of work collaboratively with the physicians kind of as a team.
Yeah.
That was my own words.
No, I would definitely describe it that way. I tell the patients that I care for that I would not work in a practice that I did not trust the physicians that I work with, because we are a team, and it really works best that way. When we have a relationship where if we feel like there's a reason for them to step in, that it's a smooth transfer of care if need be, and it's safer that way.
So it sounds like you don't just take care of pregnant women, you take care of all women.
Right.
See, that's maybe a common misconception that you only see a midwife if you're pregnant.
That's a very common misconception. And our professional organization, ACNMN, believes that every woman deserves a midwife. And I believe that with every bit of my soul.
Great. So, me too. okay, let's get back to the pregnancy thing, because that's a big thing with midwives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we love delivering babies.
We love babies.
So let's say I'm pregnant and I'm going into labor. What can I expect with a midwife when I'm in labor, let's say, versus a physician or a doctor when I'm in labor? Mind you, this is a physician staring you in the face.
Right, so we'll have to be delicate.
It's delicate.
Yes.
I'm easily offended, by the way.
Okay. I would say that one thing you would be, hopefully, if you've developed that relationship with your midwives along the way, when you go into labor, you're going to be well prepared. So that's the beginning, is even when labor starts, you're going to be prepared. We're going to have had conversations with you beforehand so that when labor starts, it's a process that you're ready to undertake. During your labor, you'll probably have some phone calls back and forth with us, kind of talking about where you are and what your progress is. We encourage you to actually labor at home, because there is good evidence that when you're admitted to the hospital in labor, plays a role in your risk for having a need for a C-section. So we're going to encourage you to labor at home. We're going to talk about how you can do that safely. But then once we make the decision together that it's time for you to be at the hospital, we'll meet you there, and we're there with you during your labor. I think we're more present. One, because we don't do the surgical interventions, we have the ability to be more present with you and to suggest things like position changes or ambulation, which is walking. It's a fancy word for walking. Being in the tub to help relax you along the way.
the only thing I'd like to add, because that was all 100% correct, is that we, as long as everything remains nice and safe and low risk, we don't engage in continuous fetal monitoring during your labor process, and we often will encourage you to continue to eat and drink to your comfort level during your labor. The evidence has been really strong to show us that women are very safe to eat and drink in their labor as long as they're low risk, and it actually works better for them. The outcomes are better if they do continue to eat and drink during their labor process.
So that's safe?
That is safe. The evidence has shown us that it's a very safe thing to continue to eat and drink during your labor process.
I knew that, but perfect. All right. Now, when patients come to see you guys in the office, and let's say, you know, I know you do these things called consults because somebody is unsure if they want midwifery care. Or I said that right?
Yes.
Midwifery care, not midwifery.
Correct.
Midwifery care or not. So what are the commonly asked questions that you hear?
I think you've hit on quite a few of them. Do we care for women who have epidurals?
Right.
What will happen if something goes wrong?
Right.
What training do you have? Often women don't know what our level of education is.
So I think we touched on that at the beginning. Yeah. So, tell us a little bit more about the training. So.
Right. So we all are nurses. First of all, we're registered nurses, still have active nursing licenses in the state of New Jersey. Our midwifery licenses are actually contingent upon our nursing license, so we must always keep our nursing license active. So our education was first in nursing, and then we moved on for advanced training. So Jennifer and I both have bachelor's degrees in nursing, as well as master's degrees in nursing, and I have a postmaster's certificate in nurse midwifery, and is that what you have, or yours is a master with a focus in midwifery?
Correct.
Right. So we're educated at the graduate level with specialized training in women's health.
I would go on to say that the training is more in depth now than it has ever been. They focus across the board and including things about like primary care, care of women, like Danielle said earlier, from the beginning of, starting their period all the way through until it ends. We are supervised. I actually did my training when I was in midwifery school here at the practice where I'm now working. And we are always in the process of continuing to train new midwives. And that actually keeps us fresh. It keeps us fresh on the evidence. We have to continue in education and keep up to date on what the most current evidence and research says.
Great. So how many babies do you have to deliver before you're a midwife? Is there like a rule?
Or
do you do your first one on the job?
It varies. Yeah.
I know that's not true. But
so during our education, during our midwifery training, the part of our training where we are actually in the hospital working side by side with a certified nurse midwife, our school sets our standards for how many babies we have to catch before we're able to graduate. I believe the ACNM is minimum is 20, but most schools go above 20 and come in somewhere between 40 and 60 before you're able to graduate.
And the other part of that is when you're finished with what your training and whatever your minimum number is for your school, someone who you've been working with hand in hand has to sign off that you're considered safe for practice. And then once you start your practice, there is extended orientation on whatever practice you start with to make sure that you continue to be safe. So there's observed births even after that until it's not just the birth, it's also the repair afterwards if they're needed and the managing of the labor during that also has to be considered that you're considered safe for that practice.
And most hospitals have their own set of criteria and rules and also the state usually has guidelines.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's not like you just not just going out there and winging it, correct?
Not even close to winging it.
Just checking.
You brought up a great topic about repairs as well. I don't think we've touched on that. Is that is one thing that midwives do? Certified nurse midwives do vaginal repairs after childbirth. That is another common misconception that I think does get asked often of us. So we do engage. We do vaginal repairs.
Great. Do you cut episiotomies?
We do if we have to, but only in very certain circumstances, and we certainly do not do it as a matter of course because the evidence has shown us that it is not an effective intervention and actually can lead to not great outcomes for women.
So you follow the evidence, in other words, is what you're trying to
say. I think you're getting that from us.
Yeah, I think that comes up a lot, right? Evidence, research.
It's all about science.
Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed. Yeah. Okay, any other frequently asked questions? So how about adolescents? How about teenage girls who have gynecological problems or need to see a provider?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Is that a good patient for a midwife or no? Or should they see the doctor?
I think it's an excellent patient for midwife. I have a great place in my heart for working with teenagers. Before I became a midwife, actually, that was one of the jobs I had, as I worked with teenagers. So to understand that time in someone's life as such a time of great transition, it is a huge time of a lot of things going on, including hormonal fluctuations. To have a patient provider who will spend the time talking with you about what is normal, to talk to you openly and honestly about sex, about consent, about what it means to feel comfortable in your own body, about sexuality, and understanding what gender and preferences and identities, someone who can really engage in those conversations, because teenagers are amazing people who have way more knowledge in a lot of things. So we have to keep up with that. And I really enjoy those talks with teenagers. And sometimes it's just a conversation. It's not necessarily a major physical exam, but I really do actually enjoy being the person to do the first exam on someone, because I feel like if you do it in the right way, you set them up with a relationship with a provider that's trusting.
I agree. I 100% agree with everything that Jen just said. I have a very special place in my heart for teenagers as well. I was a teenage mother. And so to me, you know, good health care for teenagers really can set them up for success in their life. And I really enjoy my visits with teenagers in the same way that Jen does.
That's great. That's great. So in conclusion, is there anything you wanted to convey about your craft that we haven't discussed yet, or did you think we were comprehensive?
I think we're pretty comprehensive. I think one of the things that just kept resonating throughout this whole thing, it was evidence and research, so a science background. But I think really to understand midwifery, you have to understand that it's a relational science. So it's really getting to know people, trying to, you know, meet them, understand them, form a relationship with them so that we have shared decision making. We're not going to tell you what to do. We're going to have a conversation with you about what the science says. How does that fit in with your own personal philosophies? What do you know about these things? There's a lot of education and a lot of relationships building.
So not a lot of hocus pocus or...
No, I don't have a crystal ball or any kind of magic that I can do.
No incense.
Well, I like incense.
Oils are nice, right? Oils are good. Oils are nice. Yeah. There's certainly some evidence out there for some interventions, for sure.
So it sounds like you could then maybe be comfortable seeking out a certified nurse midwife as a healthcare provider. That's what you're...
Absolutely.
Saying. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I personally see certified nurse midwives for my care. And I'm sure Jen does too.
So do I. My last baby was born with this practice. So
I'm sure you had a great experience as well.
I did have a great experience.
Exactly. So thank you, ladies. And this is, we'll hope to see more of you at Princeton Midwifery Care in Lawrenceville and East Windsor. And I know you guys deliver babies out of what's now called Penn Medicine, Princeton Healthcare, which is in Plainsboro.
Yep, absolutely.
A little confusing, but yes.
All right. All right. This is Dr. Bruce Pierce with Women's Healthcare.